The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer. Welcome to those who are joining us at home. We're delighted to have you with us as we worship together. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking about the importance of placing our hope and trust in the right things. That's the theme of our service today. You'll have seen the notice sheet on the way in, and this week, as it's half-term week, a lot of our regular activities are not happening this week. So there's no toddlers tomorrow, there's no BB, there's no anchor boys, and there's no alpha course on Wednesday evening. But the Bowls Club are meeting on Wednesday afternoon, Pilates is meeting on Wednesday evening, and the prayer meeting is happening online on Thursday evening. This is the time of year as well when we normally open our register of vestry persons. So if you are over the age of 18 and you subscribe to church funds and you're not registered in any other church and you'd like to be registered as a member here, there are forms available for you. You can get them from the church wardens. You can get them also online at the website or on the Facebook page. And sometimes people like to register as a member, which entitles you to vote at our annual business meeting, the Easter General Vestry. But that register or that opportunity to register is open over the next number of weeks. We don't have live music this morning, but we do have some recorded music, and we're going to begin our worship as we sing our opening hymn, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness."
Good morning, and you're very welcome to the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we might serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm number 1, a beautiful psalm about our rootedness in God. Let's stand and say it together. Blessed are they. Blessed are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the assembly of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. Like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither, whatever they do, it shall prosper. As for the wicked, it is not so with them. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked shall not be able to stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please take your seats for the Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning at the 5th verse. This is what the Lord says: Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing now, but during this song, we'll ask the children and young people to go through to Sunday school. Our next hymn is Faithful Vigil Ended.
Faithful vigil ended.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 6th chapter, beginning to read at the 17th verse. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to take a moment now to watch a video, and it's about sharing our faith in everyday life.
The one about number 10. What helps us to see how God is at work in our everyday lives? Take Mike, an armed protection officer at number 10. Asked how God might be in the things he is good at, Mike told a group at his church that at his work, the tension sometimes means there's quite a lot of conflict. Mike has found that he's pretty good at bringing people back together. "Blessed are the peacemakers, Mike," someone offered. "Maybe you're part of God's ministry of reconciliation." Mike knew he was doing something good, but hadn't thought that God might be doing something as well, until now. Find out how you are part of God's ministry of reconciliation with Everyday Faith from the Church of England.
Let's respond to what we've seen and heard this morning through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the fourth Sunday before Lent. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers. that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Lord, be thy word my rule.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to reach the absolute top of your chosen field? If you were a sports person, for example, to perhaps represent your country at international level. Or if you were an engineer or an architect, imagine working on a project that you knew would serve many generations to come. Or if you were a business manager, what would it be like to run a global enterprise that has interests and connections and is recognized all over the world? Imagine operating at that kind of level. I listened to an interesting interview this week with someone who had reached that kind of level. They had been in charge of Disney Studios, and they had overseen the purchase of other global networks and franchises until their entertainment network became the most successful and influential brand on the planet. At one point, they seemed to have the rights to every single blockbuster that ever appears on our cinema screens, from Star Wars to Pixar animation to Marvel superheroes to Disney. Imagine being the chief executive of a global operation like that, and then discovering, after a few years of accumulation and expansion and incredible success, imagine after all of that, you felt that you were dying inside. And the man who spoke in this interview, Dave Hollis, He spoke about the adventure of the ride to reaching that position. And then he spoke in the interview about the loneliness once he got there. And he spoke about leading an amazing team of creatives, about sitting down with the best minds in the world of filmmaking, those who had an incredible track record of success, and knowing that people needed to hear the conversations that he was having with them. And in his role as the chief executive, this man, Dave, became incredibly skilled at reading a room or a meeting and then knowing what needed to happen in order to take the project to the next level. But in all of the adaptations that he had to make in these meetings, in all of the expectations that were made of him as the big chief, what happened, he said to himself, was that he began to forget who he was in reality. And these versions of himself that he had to keep rolling out in different circumstances kept getting mixed up. And when he'd achieved another success and another success and another success, he found that he didn't really know who he was anymore. And eventually he walked away from all of it in his 40s. And it seemed to him as if he had forgotten the things that really mattered in his striving for success. And it was like there was a disconnect between the expectation and the beliefs that people had about him as a person and the success of his life and the reality as he experienced it. And so he found, as he achieved more and more success, he sought solace in alcohol in order to function well. He suffered anxiety and panic attacks all the time. His marriage broke down. And he spoke of what we hear Jeremiah speaking about in today's Old Testament reading. He spoke about having a divided heart. And there is a contrast in those few verses that we heard in our Old Testament reading that I believe has really powerful things to highlight to us this morning. Because that Old Testament reading contrasts the people who trust in human beings, including themselves, and those who trust in the Lord. And when Jeremiah was writing and when he was speaking to the people of Judah, he got very little response or success on the surface. Because at that time, the people of Judah were trusting in false gods. They were trusting in the military alliances that they were making instead of God. And in their lives, they were generally quite barren and unproductive. And it was almost a bit like those scams that we sometimes read of these days that encourage us to invest in schemes to make us rich quick. Whether it's the latest cryptocurrency or those books that tell us how easy it is to rebuild our lives in 5 simple steps. And as human beings, we're inclined to trust in sales pitches and charismatic personalities. And then when we encounter challenges on the road that we're living, we find that these incredibly impressive facades lack substance. Trust is a very precious commodity in our relationships. And whenever that trust gets damaged or broken, it's very difficult to repair it. And if you've ever had the painful experience of having your heart broken by someone you trusted, or perhaps you placed all your hopes on a course of study or a career, and then eventually you made it and you got into that line of business, but you found that it did not meet or fulfill your needs. It's very difficult then to pick up the pieces and to invest in someone or in something again. But the people of Judah at that time, they were looking for these quick and easy solutions while they were ignoring the deceitfulness and the bankruptcy of their own hearts and their own integrity. And Jeremiah wants to contrast in these few verses that we heard that kind of approach with those who trust in the Lord. And when he speaks about those who trust in the Lord, he says they are people who flourish like trees planted by water. In times of trouble, those who trust in human beings in inappropriate ways will be impoverished and spiritually weak, and they will have no strength to draw on. But he said those who trust in the Lord will have abundant strength, not just for their own needs, but also for the needs of others. Sometimes people speak with me about the difficulty of trusting in something or someone that they can't see. When they're talking about their relationship with God, they say it's really hard to trust because I can't see Him. And I get that. Most of us want to have evidence or proof before we embark on a relationship of trust. But if we do want to know what God is like, for me, the best starting point always has to be Jesus. Because when we look at His life and how He lived for others, and when we look at how even when we were far from Him, He gave His life for us, that opens up for me a whole new level of sacrifice and self-giving. Jesus certainly doesn't need me. But if I understand the message of His cross correctly, what it tells me is that even if I were the only person in the world, He would have died for me. So where does all of this leave us as we think a little bit today about trust and that contrast between those who trust in themselves and the quick fixes and those who trust in the Lord? Well, I would just want to say a couple of things in conclusion. First thing I'd want to say is that it's not wrong. It's not wrong to be ambitious and to want to be the very best version of ourselves. But we do have to be cautious, I believe, about what that looks like. Because if we want to be the best version of ourselves, and we find that we're constantly changing who we are or who we want to be in order to meet people's approval or their popularity, that can lead us into a dangerous place. But if we want to become the best person that we can become, and we're pressing on to take hold of God's values in our lives, I think that leads us to a very different place. Because as we align our lives to Jesus and we follow Him, and as we ask Him daily to infill us through His Holy Spirit, what happens is we begin to take on something of Jesus' character in our lives. And that character of Christ-likeness gives us roots and it gives us consistency that will withhold the storms of difficult circumstances, and it will also give us the capacity to resist temptation in a way that we could never find in ourselves or in anyone else other than Him. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for the hope that you offer us in our lives. We want to thank you for the gift of connection that's available to each and every one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And when a lot of voices sound in our ear and vie for our attention, we pray that you would help us to trust in you and to give you space to speak and to influence our lives. We also pray for protection against the distractions that can take us away from you. And we ask for that desire to constantly stay close to you at all times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we continue to pray for peace in the Ukraine and the surrounding areas. We pray for all foreign nationals living and working in the Ukraine, trying to find safety and shelter in these anxious times. We also want to pray for diplomacy and mediation to de-escalate the tensions. And we pray for the influential people, those who are at the top of their particular field, those who lead our governments. We pray that they would work hard to stay on course for peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we pray for all those who operate the food banks in our towns and cities, as they reach out to growing numbers struggling with rising food costs and the cost of living. We pray for the provision of resources and supplies and of your compassion, all those things that are needed to help people who find themselves in that difficult place at this time. So we ask that you would bless that work and all who are part of it. We also want to take a quiet moment to pray for those who've been bereaved, as we remember especially today the Richardson family circle on the death of Edmund. We want also to pray for those who are ill at home, in hospitals or nursing homes or hospices. And we pray that in the quietness of these moments, we would be able to lift those who are on our hearts into your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's continue to gather our thoughts and respond to what we've heard as we sing. Let's stand and sing together, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Let's bring our service to a close through a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is "All My Hope on God Is Founded."